This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Nick, how are you doing?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
We've had some figures out today which make interesting reading from here in the UK. And Britain's economy has actually contracted unexpectedly for a second month running, with GDP shrinking by 0.1%. That was after a 0.3% drop in April. And this is going to be a bit of a blow to the government and the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves, who is already under pressure. It looks like we're now here in the UK facing a bit of a flat economy and weaker growth than previously expected. So I expect that that number has had an effect on the pound, with many now expecting the Bank of England to cut interest rates next month.
Yeah, Johnny, the story for the British pound, at least from the currency trading, you know, world, the community here watching it, has been an interesting one because you've really had a bit of a turnaround in terms of the economic data. So 2 months back, I think, or so, on the podcast, I listed out some economic data reporting in regards to the UK. As you've mentioned, we just got GDP growth, which came in soft, right? 0.1%. Decline rather, or minus 0.1% compared to the forecasted growth of 0.1%. So a miss on GDP numbers. When we take a look at PMIs in the UK, you're talking about 47.7 for manufacturing. So in contraction territory. Did get an uptick July 3rd when we got the services PMIs for the UK, 52.8 versus 51.3. But pretty much everything else is suggesting some softness in the economy for the UK. Retail sales came in at minus 2.7 compared to the forecasted contraction of minus 0.5. CPI is at 3.4%, which, you know, is again why the theme in the UK economic, you know, forum kind of stuff is the concerns around stagflation. You also have PPI, right, ticking up 2.3% compared to forecast at 0.1. And then if we take a look at unemployment rate, 4.6% relative to the forecast at 4.6. I'm just listing off a bunch of economic data here to give an idea of where the UK sort of sits, because as currency traders, right, the primary goal and analysts, of course, is to try and decipher when it is appropriate to cut interest rates. So the Bank of England is in a tough spot. You've got inflation above 3%. Of course, there's a little bit of a dynamic there with the whole trade war tariff stuff. But at the same time, GDP in contraction territory definitely makes this a difficult story. So the British pound selling down here today, down about 0.5% against the US dollar. Dollar is strong against most relative currencies, at least on the day at the time of recording. But the British pound has kind of flipped from this seemingly very hawkish Bank of England to getting some softer reads here that could suggest that rate cuts might be necessary at some point if the economy continues to contract. We know that typically we'll get central banks to move a little bit more aggressively on the rate side.
Looking at the reaction of some economists, Nick, we've got some mixed reactions to this news for the UK. Some are suggesting, yes, the economy is flat at the moment, but with wage growth remaining ahead of inflation and borrowing costs set to ease, there could be a modest pickup in consumer spending. The other side of it is the fact that Britain's exports to the United States, which is its single largest export destination, surged earlier this year as US importers rushed to beat the imposition of the Trump tariffs. So I'm wondering whether those growth figures were slightly misleading, because some of the growth may be down to a raft of exports going to the United States. Of course, we know that there was an unnatural situation because people were rushing to beat the imposition of the Trump tariffs.
Yeah, and I think that I would definitely agree with your point there, Johnny. The tariff dynamic really throws a wrench into this. But what we can kind of do here is consider what we often do when referencing these economic data points is consider the economic community's forecast. Now, we know they're not always right by any means, but they too are considering these statistics. They're considering the implications of tariffs. They're doing their best, right? It's a very difficult thing to predict. I think that the real thing that the market cares about is expectations set by the analyst community and then what actually occurs. And so we have seen not only retail sales dip as expected, right? So the analyst community, as I just mentioned with retail sales, is just an example. Retail sales did dip as expected, but they dipped substantially more even than what was forecasted. And GDP growth in this regard was expected to only come in at 0.1% for the previous quarter, but instead we got minus 0.1%. So we're seeing the actual impacts here materially coming down more so than what is expected. I think that's what's really important when analyzing this stuff is we consider the analyst community's perspective and then what actually appears.
Moving to your side of the Atlantic, Nick, or a bit further north from you as well, the latest Canadian employment figures are actually better than expected, and there's some other data that's come from Canada as well.
Yeah, so we saw last week, typically, right, we typically see the U.S. and Canada report their jobs report on the first Friday of each month. Of course, sometimes those decouple from each other by a week. And so in this case, we got Canada's numbers this morning at the time of recording this podcast. This is fresh information. Unemployment rate ticking lower from 7.1% in Canada down to 6.9%. We also were expected to get employment change of 0.9K. We got an 83.1K change in jobs. I mean, that's a pretty big beat. And so if I just pull up, I'm just referencing the US dollar versus the Canadian dollar here. We did see a pretty sharp reversal lower here on the dollar CAD. Of course, that would make sense, signaling some strength in the Canadian dollar off of this very strong jobs report. I mean, that's a tick lower in the North American region, right? So not only just in the US, but now in Canada. And this is something that, you know, as a market commenter, as someone who's watching the markets, I like to see this is when we talk about inflation, when we talk about jobs data, it's definitely better in my view when you get this kind of holistic moving as a group. We're seeing unemployment rate levels drop in most developed countries together. Or for example, inflation cooling collectively is far more important than you know, just in a single region. So with Canada, we had a really good jobs print, which follows last week's data of the US having a really good jobs print as well.
And before we talk about the week to come, we also had some unemployment figures from the USA, and actually they were better than expected.
Yeah, it's been such a strange year, Johnny. I mean, I think a lot of us were really, a couple months ago, things were looking pretty dire, right? It was like, oh, everything's locking up on the trade front. And so the market just has, I mean, this is why the future is so difficult to predict, right? We've had such a turnaround in the story where unemployment claims have come in, you know, incredibly stronger than expected in all of this, unemployment data in general, right? We had wage growth that's holding up decently well. You had unemployment rate, which ticked lower last week, and you have unemployment claims this week coming in at 227,000 claims compared to the forecast of 236. So we've seen unemployment claims, they were rising for the last few weeks and now have actually started to come down again, signaling that, you know, maybe the jobs market situation is not too dire. I thought this was interesting, right? Because this all sort of points to the main topic, I guess, of the day, which is the seeming divide between Fed officials in the United States. You have some officials who are much more dovish. Waller in comes to mind for many, as he's been kind of adamant about even cutting rates still in July, right, the upcoming meeting. And then you have, you know, Powell himself, a little bit more on the hawkish side, saying, you know, we can wait and see. But this labor print that we, or this round of economic data, specific the labor data, has been pretty supportive of the state of the U.S. economy. I mean, the people are employed, wage growth is relatively stable. You have, you know, less claims than expected in terms of unemployment claims. I mean, it's been a round of refreshing jobs data. And in my view, personally, people who are sort of begging for the rate cuts in terms of the specifically, I'm thinking of like stock market bulls. To me, it's kind of like begging for medicine, right? You don't necessarily want to beg for medicine here. We've got a decently strong employment base. We're at multi-year kind of lows in terms of just general unemployment rate, which went down as far as I think 3.4% or so, is now up to in the US, I believe it's 4.1 or 4.2, if I can remember off the top of my head. You know, these are stable levels of employment. Earnings growth in the United States looks good. Again, it's almost like you don't necessarily even want to beg for rate cuts in this circumstance because companies are growing, people are employed. Obviously, there's always challenges and people are always struggling, but on a relative aggregate basis, things seem okay, much better than what was expected in the April sell-off where people were very concerned about trade dynamics, which, to be fair, the one thing I'll add on trade, as we've talked about it very frequently on the podcast, is I do have a slight worry personally that the market may be discrediting the potential risks there a little bit. We're seeing stock markets back to all-time highs every single day. And, you know, things do seem to be good and some of the economic data holding up and that side of things. But we're seemingly one Truth Social post away from sort of reintroducing those risks to the market if things start to break down between any of the major trade partners.
It is strange, really, when you consider the amount of uncertainty we've had in recent months, indeed in recent years. But we've got stock markets at all-time highs. In some strange way, it doesn't really make any sense. One wonders what sort of stock market highs we'd see if we actually had some consistent and good news. But let's talk about the week ahead, Nick. What stands out for you?
Yeah, and just before I get into the week ahead, that was a great point that you left off there, Johnny, just to follow up on that. This concept of what would happen if tariffs were more clear. I mean, we've heard from Powell himself in a recent press conference. He actually mentioned that if tariffs were more clear, they probably would have been cutting interest rates by now. So you're right. I mean, what could have been? And I guess we'll never know, but perhaps we'll get some more clarity in weeks to come. And of course, for podcast listeners, make sure you are subscribed wherever you listen, because we'll be covering it throughout all of it. And then also to your last point there about the week to come, we have some Chinese economic data on Monday. We get GDP statistics, industrial production, retail sales out of China. And then on Tuesday, we get the CPI out of Canada and the US. Again, very big day on Tuesday. All sort of points to CPI right now. I think that that's a really key indicator to whether the Fed can officially move forward with rate cuts in September. In the UK, we do get CPI here on Wednesday to follow. And then, of course, the US producer price index. We get some unemployment data out of the Australian RBA. And then on Thursday, we get retail sales unemployment claims in the United States. We hear from Waller on Thursday, which, of course, I wouldn't usually point that out, but Waller has been pretty vocal here recently. So we'll keep an eye on that. And that pretty much sets the tone for next week. It is a very busy week to come.
Yep. Waller being one of the Federal Reserve doves and somebody who we seem to be talking about a lot more these days. Nick, thank you very much for your time today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.